Welcome back to WBOI Presents. I'm Ben Clemmer. During this hour, we are listening to the first of two Issues in Ales panels recorded at Joseph DeQuise. WBOI reporter and Morning Edition host Zach Bernard moderated the discussion, and we are about to continue with Rachel Blakeman from the Community Research Institute answering a question from the audience about Indiana's low unemployment rate. Thank you for listening.
We have 10,000 more people working as of September than we did in January. And so that's been actually, so that was a story that we had probably 2 to 5 years ago, was folks who had just elected to leave the labor market altogether. The labor market data tell us those who are working and those who are actively seeking work. So that means that if you are not working and you are going on Indeed.com and looking at job postings, but you never apply, you never interview, you are not reflected in this number. You are marginally attached to the workforce. What we've seen also, though, is we have about 10,000 more people working now than we did in January. Some of that's going to be a little bit of a seasonal fluctuation, but not all of it. And our unemployment rate has gone down, but only by 900 people. So we just had essentially 9,000 people who came away from the sidelines and then decided to enter the workforce. One of the things that we're watching on this is what they're calling labor market slack. So what it is, and that labor market slack is going to potentially prevent wages from going up. So the idea is, again, we're only counting people who are actively seeking work as unemployed. What we know is that there may be people who are sitting on the sidelines who are saying, hey, the wages are now high enough, the schedule is now, it works for my life, I can get a first shift job, whatever it is. And so they are going from not in the labor force to employed. And so that slack has the possibility of keeping wages from escalating. So it's what's called the Phillips curve is the official name for what drives up wages when you've got a tight labor market. This is what we're watching. When we look at the data from 2017, for the county that had the largest percentage growth from 16 to 17 was LaGrange County at 9.74%. LaGrange County is, for those of you who are not familiar with the geography, is immediately to the east of Elkhart County. And Elkhart County is the center of the recreational vehicle industry for the United States, and RVs are on a tear. I've heard recently that there might be some cutbacks on that, but historically they have been overperforming. So we've got those baby boomers who may be leaving the labor market. Their 401ks are doing nicely and they're purchasing RVs. So that clearly, so an RV is a good example of where those wages are going to probably be able to go up because they're able to produce more, they're able to bring in income. They're not that kind of income constrained situation of teachers and daycare workers and childcare workers. So those are some of those things. But this rise of about 10,000 people or about 9,000 people or so is really puzzling to us because that really tells us that there were people who were sitting out of the labor market who have joined. An interesting story that I'm following nationally is the notion of men of prime working age who do not work. So that's ages between 25 and 54. And so there's a large segment of that. They tend to be high school diplomas. They tend not to be married and they tend not to have children. So there's a thought that they actually play video games. Because we follow their time. There's actually this whole time use survey that the Census Bureau does. And they spend so men who are not in the labor force, who are of prime working age, spend a lot of time on social activities, which is watching TV and playing video games. Women who are of that same cohort, who are not working, actually tend to be caregiving. So they tend to be, so what we're assuming is that they're either stay at home parents or they're helping to care for elderly relatives. So that's a really interesting dynamic. So we're seeing people come into the labor market. When we look at the numbers locally, what we're seeing the growth in terms of the people who are working in terms of percent is actually those who would be of retirement age, those over the age of 65. We're seeing that as a growing number in terms of percent.
Before we continue, I think that marks a pretty good time for us to transition into audience questions. because we still have about 20 minutes remaining on this panel conversation. So if there are any audience questions, we'll be more than happy to pass the mic over to you. WBOI News Director Rebecca Green will do that.
Hi. So in regards to the midterm elections, given that our federal delegation no longer includes Joe Donnelly, who was our only member of the Agricultural Committee, how do you think that that is going to impact our representation, given the fact that we haven't been strongly represented in a long while in federal circles in agriculture?
It'll be interesting. And the committee choice of new members is always an interesting thing to look at, to see where they view their own reelection. So I'll be very interested to see what Braun chooses as his committee selection based on where he views where his win came from, but also the importance for the state of Indiana. Clearly, Indiana's had a complicated history with agriculture. Senator Lugar before this was obviously a big voice in the matter, but also had other policy areas that he was in on. And it's an important time because the agricultural sector, clearly we understand the Farm Bill, its relationship to SNAP programs and other things is gummed up right now. And further, the trade situation, if, you know, obviously agriculture is directly hit first thing. The commodity prices, the fact that it's not just commodities coming in, the price this year, is that they couldn't move anything out of the grain elevators last year. And so you've got this backup and this major issue for the state that kind of is going to be very influential. So we'll see where the voices come from, because we don't see the Republican Party with one voice on this right now at the national level. And so it'll be interesting to see, to your question, I don't have an answer, just whether and how we pursue this, or who gives voice to the kind of champion of this issue, because it's obviously, while manufacturing is a huge sector of the economy relative to any other in Indiana, agriculture is a massive one as well.
I actually have numbers on that.
Oh, good.
Because we just did a project on this. And so GDP is about, hovers around, for Northeast Indiana, for a 12-county region, for those of you who know the 12, for the 10, the standard 10, plus Kosciuszko, plus Grant, we're looking at about hovering around 2%. It went above that during the Great Recession, and it's under that now. And it's about like 1.25 or thereabouts for the state of Indiana. So ag has a larger presence in the Northeast Indiana economy than it does for the state.
I'd like a show of hands here. How many people think Joe Donnelly ran a good campaign? There's a few. How many people think he ran a bad campaign? There's more. This is what Associated Press reported yesterday. And this is about Arizona Senator-elect Kyrsten Sinema. Sinema targeted moderate Republicans and independent women by painting herself as a nonpartisan problem solver who voted to support Trump's agenda 60% of the time. Her nearly single-issue campaign talked about the importance of health care and protections for people with pre-existing conditions. That is identical to what Joe Donnelly was talking about. And this woman is bisexual and got elected in Arizona, yet Indiana rejected Joe Donnelly. Same campaign, different states, different results. How do you explain it?
California.
Did you hear that? Fewer people from California moved to Indiana.
Oh, I was going to say, what makes you guys so sure? But you might know.
Been nice to know you. See you later.
No, but I think this is a real big point, that to Brian's point, is that the post-election narrative that you draw from two similar campaigns in two states that have a similar historical partisan patterns is important. We always over-determine and explain the results of elections. So what worked in Arizona wouldn't work in Indiana. And how could it be? Well, we compartmentalize the explanation. And we'd be very careful drawing conclusions from midterm elections about what it means for 2020. Just as 2 years ago I was here on this panel and I said, the Republicans will overplay their hands. They will think that they've got some massive, the overdrawing of conclusions is important, and this is one of them.
The conversation will continue on WBOI Presents. Stay tuned.